Today on The Travel Guys.
In the travel news, we tell you about the first passenger to travel with an implanted chip replacing their boarding pass?
No, they would be the second. I think it was Arnold Schwarzenegger did that in The Terminator.
Believe it or not.
At 3:20, we take you down one of our favorite scenic roads to the Highway 101 Cafe in Oceanside. We're going to talk with our old friend John Daly about a car cruise.
Tom, you know, Wayne Newton has been a part of Las Vegas for over 50 years. And now, for the first time today, he's a part of the Travel Guys. At 3:35, Wayne is our guest to talk about how you can tour Casa de Shenandoah, his former home and estate in Las Vegas.
Well, the snow is piling up in the mountains, and we've got a great way for you to go and enjoy the snow without getting wet. Hint, it involves a train. Find out more at 3:50.
We are here making you a smarter traveler, Mark and Tom. We are the Travel Guys.
On the road again. Just can't wait to get on the road again. I'm a traveling man, king of the road.
Riding on the city of New Orleans.
Kicks out on the Route 66.
That's entertainment.
Let's go on with the show.
Hi there, everyone. Mark and Tom here. We are the Travel and Entertainment Guys on KFBK, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. It's another fabulous Sunday. So happy that you could take some time out of your busy day to spend with us. And excuse the term, but we have a killer show today.
Oh, that was tricky. Yeah. I like the way you did that. Folks will find out what that means if they listen really carefully later on. You know, we call ourselves, Tom, the Travel and Entertainment Guys on a fairly regular basis so we can promote local cultural arts events and have guests from the theater and things like that. Sometimes it kind of loosely slops over to travel and sometimes not so much. But, you know, I think it's entertaining and interesting. And the big important thing is if it benefits the listeners out there, we're trying to make you a smarter traveler and maybe inform you a little bit about some of the things going on around town. But today we have a guest that is, I'd say, pretty much over the top.
Well, we had Mr. Barry Manilow last year, and I think this is could possibly, for some of our listeners, certainly, could top that.
Well, and apologies to Lee Greenwood, who was a guest on the Travel Guys a ways back also.
Well, and Richie Ferrey from Poco.
That's right. We've had
Where do we go from there?
Yeah, I guess so. Well, today, folks, if you hang around this radio program for a little bit longer, you will have an opportunity to hear Mr. Wayne Newton, Mr. Las Vegas, sit down with Tom and I this week. And we have a really wonderful interview and some great things going on for Wayne that you're going to find out about. And you'll find out about how you can tour his former home in Las Vegas, which is an absolutely spectacular. I'm just saying, go to Las Vegas to do this. It's really a cool thing. So how are you doing, Mr. Romano?
I'm doing excellent. Thank you, sir. By the way, for our listeners, if you'd like to follow along and see how we're doing, go to travelguysradio.com. We got links to everything there. Mark, you got some travel news for us today?
I do.
Okay, then. With that being said, bring it, my friend.
I have some interesting stories here for the news today, Tom. Here's the first headline. Microchip implants that replace boarding passes.
Oh, I thought that was going to be for cell phone use.
We're
doing boarding passes.
Dutch airline passenger uses implant to breeze through airport security.
Oh, my gosh.
A Dutch passenger has become the first person to travel without a physical boarding pass. He had a microchip implanted in his hand that had all relevant travel documents.
Okay.
I won't try to pronounce this gentleman's last name, but his first name was Andreas. He's from the Netherlands. He was able to implant a microchip that was mailed to his home, and he was able to implant it under the skin in his hand himself.
Oh, my gosh.
I've sat here for a couple days and tried to figure that out, but there is a picture. If you go to travelguysradio.com, you can read this whole article, and you can see a picture of him literally putting his hand up against the security thing where they would normally put your boarding pass to get it to beep at him, and it's just I it's science fiction.
Yeah, well,
don't you think?
It's where science fiction meets today's technology, and we've seen that for decades. And so, you know what? Why should we be surprised?
Well, this is what he says. He says, a few weeks ago, I had an NFC chip implanted into my hand just beneath the skin. In this video, I used the chip to pass through the Stockholm airport, through security at the lounge, and finally through the gate to the aircraft. My NFC chip contains my Scandinavian Airlines Euro bonus member ID. And since the gate, the airport has NFC readers all the way from security to the gate, I can use the chip instead of an ordinary boarding pass. Of course, the deal is, though, that if it's only for that trip, is he going to have to put a new chip in his hand? For the next trip?
Nah,
Tom, I make 30 or 40 trips a year. I'd have open veins all over my body.
And then if he passes through the TSA at the Southwest gate in Sacramento, it'll set the alarm off and he'll be arrested.
Well, coming soon, implanted. We've seen the movies and we've always talked about this stuff. But all right, here's a lesson in the headline doesn't always tell you about the story. Or the other lesson is when you're reading a story on the internet, you might want to, and it talks about some kind of a study or a survey. The first thing you want to do is see who commissioned the study or the survey.
Right.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So here's the headline. Airbnb runs illegal hotels, hotel industry study claims. So this new study, it's a Penn State University study, analysis of Airbnb bookings, was funded by the American Hotel and Lodging Association.
Well, sure.
So what do you think the results were when the American Hotel and Lodging Association funded a survey about Airbnb?
Well,
it comes out with a headline, Airbnb runs illegal hotels.
Sure. It's going to be a downer for the Airbnb.
It is. So you see this and you say, wow, well, they're running illegal hotels. So that got my attention right away. And then I got in here and I literally in the second paragraph, it says that, you know, this was funded by the American Hotel and Lodging Association. So what they found out, and you can take this with a grain of salt or not, but what they found out is that more and more people are renting out their homes or their building or their house or their rental property or whatever it is 365 days a year. They're not living there anymore. And many people are renting out more than one. You know, if you had a, let's pretend that there's lots of people who have a couple of rental properties in Sacramento. Let's say that you know, one became vacant and you just decided that heck with it. I can make more money running people in and out of there on a daily basis, and considering how much effort it is, which has got to be a lot, but people are reporting that they're making an average of about $80,000 a year per unit, which is a lot more than an average hotel room takes in. But if they are renting them 365 days a year, the American Hotel and Lodging Association says it's an illegal hotel. That you're not mm-hmm. playing by the rules that hotels have to play by, and so kind of interesting. And the survey says that the number of people who are doing this is rising dramatically. It also says that Airbnb's website is one of the most popular travel websites in the country now. So kind of interesting.
There you go. Now you did hear about what went on in Sacramento this past week. That they are now allowing more people that have private homes in more areas. Before, it was just kind of like outlining areas or whatever, but in more areas and communities to be able to use their home as an Airbnb, provided they follow all of the guidelines that go along with it. So you know, residents in the Sacramento area, things have loosened up for them as part of that.
Wow. Okay, here's a thing. Here's a story that technically is not a travel or even an entertainment story.
Well, then why are you reading it?
Well, because it's interesting.
Okay.
Damn it. It's this is the headline here is consider changing your password if it made this list of worst passwords. We're always talking about making people smarter travelers, and you know, travel. If you travel, you have to be on a computer. You have to be using multiple passwords to get into your hotel and your airline account.
And I bet you my password is the number one you shouldn't use.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
The most commonly used password found in 2015 on this list of 25, the most commonly used password is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
See, there now I cannot use it anymore.
Uh-huh. The second most used password? Password.
Don't
the word password is the second most. Rounding out the top five, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, QWERTY, and 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Number sequences dominated 6 through 10 spots as well, with 1 through 9 being one of them, 1 through 4 and 1 through 7 coming at 6th, 8th, and 9th respectively. This is interesting, Tom. The words football and baseball ranked 7th and 10th.
Interesting.
The next tier is a little bit more creative. 1, 2, 3, 4, all the way up to 0. ABC, 1, 2, 3. 6 ones. Dragon, the word dragon, the word master, monkey, let me in, and log in were there. At the tail of the 25 were princess, solo, the word password with a 0 instead of the O in password.
Right.
And Star Wars. So I posted this. We put it on TravelGuysRadio.com. So you can go there and see the whole list. And the bottom line to it is this. If you have a password that appears on this list of 25 most popular passwords, you need to change your password. And if you're unfortunately using that for more than one place, besides just to log in and get your French fries or something like that, why, it's seriously, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, Tom, is not a good thing anymore, because now we have told the whole planet.
I know. Now I got to change the password on my luggage.
Yeah, yeah. Not very creative. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. And password. All right, one more item here. 5 things frequent flyers wish you knew but are afraid to tell you. Chris Elliott came up with this list this week. Chris is going to be a guest on the program next week. And I wanted to share this with our listeners because I travel a lot, and these all hit exactly home. Quickly, the 5 are. Number 1, the person in the middle gets the armrests. You know, that's
both of
that's
them?
Both of them.
Wow.
There are 4 armrests in a typical row.
Right.
So that means one person is going to get 2, and 2 people are going to get 1.
And that is because the person in the middle has got the worst seat, so they deserve the privilege of having both armrests.
It is an unwritten rule in the world of travel. Now, the best way to do it is to, if you're in the middle seat, is to stake out part of the armrest, either the front part or the back part, and then let the person beside you take over whatever is left. That's the way that it's generally done. Number 2, if you find yourself in the TSA pre-check line, do not take off your shoes or belt. Do not remove your liquids or your laptop. You don't have to do those things if you're in the pre-check line. Now, fewer people are getting randomly selected for that now, but still, if you're boarding pass says pre-check, go to the pre-check line and remember, shoes, belt, liquids, laptop, don't have to take them off or out.
There you go. I finally learned that. I get pre-check almost every time now.
Uh-huh. Now, here's number 3. If you're sitting in the first row of economy, both your carry-on bags have to go in an overhead bin.
Right.
Yeah. Uh-huh. I mean, if you put your purse or your bag in front of you and then everything fills up and now you can't find a place for your bag and we have to wait 3 minutes at the gate while the flight attendant takes your bag back 9 rows and you scream about how you can't be separated from it for 20 minutes. So if you're sitting in a bulkhead row and you don't have a seat in front of you, you can't stash your stuff there. That has to be open space. So put it, even your purse, ladies, has to go up above for takeoff. Then you can take it down. Number 4, of the list of 5 things that frequent flyers wish you knew but were afraid to tell you. Under no circumstances should you place your bag in an overhead bin towards the front of the plane if you're seated in the back of the plane.
Okay.
Your overhead stuff should go where you sit. Because if you put your overhead stuff where someone else sits, they get on the plane and you've gone to the back of the plane, there's no place for their stuff. So there's also a proper way to put your bag in. So you don't put it in sideways, because then you take up the space for 2 bags. You put it in wheels last or wheels first. And some bags fit better with wheels first, some bags fit better with wheels last. But the bags are designed to fit exactly into that space, most of them,
right,
if you just know how to put them in there. And finally, number 5, some people really don't want to chit-chat. Know your audience. If you sit down and you say something to the person next to you twice and they ignore you, there's a pretty good chance they don't want to talk to you.
Very good.
So there you are. 5 things frequent flyers wish you knew, but we are afraid to tell you.
And you're listening to The Travel Guys here on KFBK, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations.
And quickly here, the winner of The Travel Guys Travel Card of the Week. We always do this at the end, so I thought I'd do it at the front and be a little sneaky. We didn't have a winner last week, so a $200 travel card to Doug Kopechny, K-O-P-E-C-K-Y. Doug was on our trip to Cuba just a couple of weeks ago. Doug, if you've heard your name or one of your friends do and they tell you about it, call the Sports Leisure Vacations office before 4 o'clock on Tuesday afternoon, and you will be the winner of a $200 travel card. If we don't hear from Doug, the jackpot will be $300 next week. Coming up next on the Travel Guys, we are going down south to one of our favorite old car friends, John Daly at the Highway 101 Cafe with the Travel Guys, next on News Radio KFBK.
Country roads take me home to the place I belong.
You've stumbled across the Travel Guys, Mark and Tom, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations here on KFBK every Sunday 3 to 4. Details at travelguysradio.com. Mark, introduce a good friend and special guest of our program today.
Tom, if you think back when the Travel Guys first went on the air a few years back, one of our very first guests was a friend of mine from Southern California, John Daly at the Highway 101 Cafe, and he joins us back on the Travel Guys today. Hi, John.
Hey, Mark. Hey, Tom. Great to hear from you guys.
Thank you. It's been a while.
Yeah, it has. You know, Tom, what made me think of John was that I got this email a few days back, and it says, you know, Oceansiders have the coolest rides, but usually have nowhere else to go to show off their cars, trucks, and motorcycles. Now they can come downtown and enjoy the Hearts and Rods Cruise Night on February the 10th on the old Coast Highway. Awesome. John, tell us a little bit about the Hearts and Rods ride.
Well, the idea of Hearts and Rods Cruise was part of a week-long Valentine celebration in Oceanside. And, you know, it occurred to me, I've done all the car things for so many years that I could add that dimension to it. So we're going to have a cruise night in Oceanside where we expect to get hundreds of cars cruising up and down and parking along Highway 101.
Is this new, John, or is this something you've been doing for years?
This is the first one we've ever done. You know, it's okay. Kind of surprising. A city as big as Oceanside, we've never done a cruise night before. We've done our fair share of shows and cruises, but this is our very first cruise night, and we've been here for 137 years.
John, you still have your old Woody?
Oh, no. No. I'm just driving a little PT Cruiser these days.
That's almost a Woody.
It's not a real car guy's car.
It's kind of a modern-day Woody. Kind of looks a little bit like a Woody.
Oh, I guess it could be. But remember, the kids call it the PT Loser.
Oh, my.
So tell us, how are things at the Highway 101 Cafe?
101 Cafe is doing really well. You know, we're 88 years old this year, and, you know, we're not showing our age at all. Got the place all spiffed up for everybody to come in and enjoy their food for breakfast and lunch.
What is the number one thing folks order when they go to Highway 101 Cafe? What's the most popular thing on your menu, John?
Well, let's do it for breakfast and let's do it for lunch.
Okay.
The most popular thing we have these days is actually what we call cheesy hash browns. And it's these great cheesy hash browns with topped with eggs and meat, and it's delicious. And our most popular thing for lunch, that's followed through with the cheese part of it, is our cheeseburger. You know, we serve a really good cheeseburger with Angus beef and a third-pound burger, and it's delicious.
I can vouch for the cheeseburger thing. The breakfast thing, I can't quite follow. Guy Fieri and I share a thing in common. Neither one of us likes eggs.
Oh, okay. Well, we have oatmeal for you guys.
There you go, Johnny. So what else is going on in Oceanside these days? I haven't been down there for a couple, 3-4 years now. So actually, it's the last time I was at your place, I guess.
Well, Oceanside is going to be one of those capitals of the beer industry here pretty soon. It seems like every week we pop up with a new either tap room or a brew pub here. We just got a brand new one that seats 125 people, and it's been a crazy thing. There's probably 10 of those businesses along Coast Highway now.
Wow. If you are out cruising along the old Coast Highway and you get anywhere near Oceanside, between 7 in the morning and 2 in the afternoon any day, you can pop into the Highway 101 Cafe and grab yourself one of those cheeseburgers. Or if you're there in the morning, get yourself a good breakfast, and you will have the privilege of eating in one of the great historic places along one of America's great highways. And you might even run into John somewhere. You can see that PT Cruiser outside. Why, then you'll know he's somewhere in the neighborhood. John, thanks a lot for a couple minutes of your time here. And if folks want to join the Hearts and Rods cruise, how would they do that?
You know, they can just go ahead and get a hold of me in Oceanside. I can give you my number if you'd like. 760-803-1017, and I'll give you all the information. It's a free event. It's just for fun. Bring your sweetheart with you. It'll be a good time.
sounds like a winner. We will put a link to the Highway 101 Cafe on travelguysradio.com so you can see the menus and stuff in case you're just thinking about stopping by for a cheeseburger. John, have a great cruise, and we'll talk to you down the road.
Great talking to you guys. Thanks for calling.
John Daly, Highway 101 Cafe in Oceanside. Thank you so much. We are the Travel Guys. Coming up after the news, we will be joined by one of the greatest entertainers of all time, Mr. Wayne Newton, right here on the Travel and Entertainment Guys. The applause is not necessarily for me, but for Mr. Las Vegas, Wayne Newton. We are the Travel Guys, Mark and Tom, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. And Mark, you've lined us up with a rather super special guest. Why don't you go ahead and introduce Mr. Newton, and let's talk about what we're going to talk about today.
All right. Well, we are the Travel and Entertainment Guys, and it's not all the time that travel and entertainment fall so nicely and completely together in one little segment, but in this case, it really is true.
Just some things that are meant to be, right, Mark?
There are. Joining us on the Travel Guys is the man known as Mr. Las Vegas. He is entertainer Wayne Newton. Wayne, welcome to the Travel Guys.
Well, thank you, Mark and Tom, and big hello to both of you, and I'm thrilled to be here.
Well, and this isn't just a social call. You have a former home of yours in Las Vegas that has been opened now to the public. Folks can go there and tour it. I've had the opportunity to be there myself a couple of years ago when this was all kind of in the preparation stage. And it's just a spectacular thing. It really is worth a trip to Las Vegas to see. Wayne, tell us a little bit about Casa de Shenandoah and the history and what it means to you.
Okay. Well, firstly, I started building it around 1966. I purchased my first 5 acres of land out there, and I built a home for my parents and my brother and myself, and that's where we lived until my brother got married, moved to Los Angeles. Then I got married ultimately, and my parents said, well, you know, the house should just be for you and your wife. And so I built them another home about 2 blocks from that 5 acres. Over the years, a lot of changes, obviously. As the land became available for purchase contiguous to that 5 acres, I continued to buy it. And in many instances, there were old homes on it, or cabins or trailers in some instances. And the people who owned them and lived there were in somewhat elderly people. And so I just let them live there until they decided they wanted to move or they went to heaven, you know. And I then tore down the structure, added it to the 5 acres, and over the years we built it up to 52 acres.
Wow.
It has 8 homes on it. It has my airplane that took us all over the world on it that people can go through. My car collection of 13 cars. And then the original home and then the home that I eventually built for my wife and I and our family. And people can go through that. And in that are, of course, antiques of pretty much 16th, 17th century French, and a lot of artwork. And then it's 65 head of Arabian horses. And on and on and on. I mean, you could spend 2 days there and never see
almost anything you could want to see right there at Casa de Shenandoah. You live in a slightly smaller place very nearby now, right? And your former home now has been open to the public. Folks can come out there and see all of this stuff that you were just describing, which I just have to tell you, folks, I didn't get to see all of the outdoors because we were there after dark for a dinner. It really is an incredibly, whatever you might think the house that Wayne Newton lived in looks like, that's what it looks like. It is open now, Wayne, for tours, and you can...
It is open for tours, and I am really proud to say, Mark, we started on, the tour advisory thing, of course, that goes up to 1,131 things to see in Las Vegas. In less than 2 months, of the people that had visited the ranch and then rode into this to this tour guide thing, we are now at 26.
Nice.
Wow. Of the top things to see in Las Vegas.
Now, Wayne, I understand that you have some animals on your property, too. And I think in an interview, I think it was described as we have animals that don't eat you.
That's a fact. We have nothing that will challenge you in any way that way. There we have monkeys, we have kangaroos, we have wallabies, we have all kinds of birds. Peacocks roam the ranch, swans in the lake, wild duck fly in and stay. And it really is, when you pull into the gates off of one of the main streets in Las Vegas, if somebody put a blindfold on you, you could swear you were in Vermont someplace, because it doesn't look like anything that you would imagine the Las Vegas desert to look like, because desert is funny to the extent that if you can get water to it, it will grow anything. So we have artesian wells. The entire place is watered by artesian wells, and it's just one of the most unique and peaceful pieces of property I've ever been to anywhere in the world.
We're talking with Wayne Newton on the Travel Guys with Mark and Tom this afternoon. We're talking about the opening to the public of Wayne's former home, Casa de Shenandoah, in Las Vegas, and how spectacular it is. There are several ways for you to see it. If you go to TravelGuysRadio.com, there is a link to the website, which will show you all the different ticket prices and stuff like that. I will sneak in a cheap plug here and tell you that Sports Leisure Vacations groups have already visited the home and will be visiting there again. So if you'd like to go with the group, we can take you there. Wayne has been performing since, Wayne, it says in the press clippings here that your first radio show was when you were 6 years old.
That's true, and that was in Roanoke, Virginia, WDBJ, and I had a 6 o'clock in the morning radio show singing and playing steel guitar with one or two other guys. But I did that before I went to school, and so I truly have been performing really since I was 4 years old. And so working is the only thing I know how to do well.
Well, Wayne, a lot of people, of course, know you as a singer, but those that have followed your career know that you play a lot of instruments. What possessed you to want to learn to play as much many instruments as you do?
Well, actually, it falls into that old category of necessity is the mother of invention, you know. We started in Las Vegas when I was 15, and we started doing 6 shows a night, 6 nights a week, and that would be 40 minutes on, 20 minutes off, 6 times a day. Wow. And you can't sing that much, I don't care who you are. And so I kept developing the instruments in order to give me some vocal relief. And so to date, I play 13 instruments, and it's a blessing and a curse at the same time, because when I listen to arrangements that have been written for either a song I'm recording or one I'm going to do on stage, the first thing I do is call the band in and then rearrange the arrangement to fit me. And so if I don't read a note of music, and if the musicians don't understand what I'm talking about, I play it for them.
There's a really large opening in Las Vegas. They're building a big building there. We're doing the same thing here in Sacramento, building an arena. Las Vegas Arena is opening date is just a few months away, and you were involved in that.
As a matter of fact, I'm very excited and very honored to be involved. They called myself and the Killers, the rock act, and asked us to open it. And so on opening night, April 6th, it'll be the Killers and Wayne Newton. And so I'll be doing my thing probably somewhere during the show. And then I plan on, this will probably come as a surprise to them, but I plan on joining them for a couple of songs too.
Wow. Well, Wayne, I think a lot of folks know that you're somewhat of a pack rat. You like to collect things. going back to, let's talking one more time about Casa de Shenandoah. You have some Liberace stuff, do you not?
I have one of his cars that he drove around town here, and I came on it quite by mistake. I was actually looking at another person's collection, and when I saw this Rolls Royce and I opened the door, knowing the background of Liberace, you would expect it to be, kind of blinged up and and all of those kind of things. This was his personal car that he really didn't want to be recognized in. And the reason that I knew that is because there's a plaque on the dashboard that says it's his, and along with his signature. So right. I purchased that, and I have Johnny Cash's Rolls Royce. I have Steve McQueen's Rolls Royce. I have Bill Harris' Rolls Royce. And then I have one or two cars that are one of a kind in the world that were especially made.
And Wayne, I'm guessing that you I'm guessing that you knew some of these folks pretty well.
I knew them all, actually. Bill Harrow was a dear friend. I worked for him literally in the lounges and main room of the Harris Hotels until he passed away. And then, of course, Johnny Cash and I were very dear friends, and I was a big fan and friend of Steve McQueen. So
there's an old story about Bill Harrow that goes something like that. When he first opened Harrah's Tahoe, he couldn't really afford to pay entertainers what they were making in Las Vegas. So he had to kind of sell Tahoe on the fact that, you know, you were coming to Lake Tahoe and it was a spectacular place. And he was known for taking really good care of the entertainers within his hotel. Is any of that ring true to you?
Yes, it's all true. And in fact, he put us up in a spectacular home right on the lake, which, you know, was one of his personal homes. And then in my instance, for example, when I say bought, I didn't buy it. He gave it to me. He had married Bobby Gentry, which lasted about 6 months, I think.
About 20
and,
minutes, yeah.
then he decided to get rid of the car that he had gone, you know, that had taken them to their honeymoon. And so I said, well, I'll buy it. He said, you can't buy it. I'll give it to you. And so that's the car I have.
Wow. Wayne, I certainly thank you for your time today. We've been talking with Wayne Newton, Mr. Las Vegas, who, before I let you go, Wayne, I do want to thank you for one other thing here. For many, many, many years, you traveled with Bob Hope, and after Bob passed the torch to you, you have entertained servicemen and all over the planet in godforsaken places for a lot of years. So I just wanted to take the opportunity to thank you for all of that.
Well, thank you very, very much. That's truly one of the highlights of my life. If I had to look back at this point in time and say, okay, what's the one thing that you wouldn't change, or you wouldn't take the world for, it would be those trips. We have entertained our men and women in the armed forces in every confrontation our country has been in since Vietnam, and we were there twice.
He is Mr. Las Vegas. He is Wayne Newton. His former home, Casa de Shenandoah, is open to the public in Las Vegas. You can tour it. There are a variety of different packages available. Go to travelguysradio.com. You can see all the information there. Wayne, again, thank you so much for your time, not only now, but a few years ago when you entertained us for dinner at your home there. So it gives me the opportunity to be able to say, this is a spectacular place, folks. You need to go see it.
Well, guys, thank you very, very much, and I look forward to seeing you and giving you the personal tour, okay?
Outstanding. Thank you, Wayne. We are the Travel Guys on KFBK Travel and Entertainment, blending them all together in a special way today with Mr. Wayne Newton. Coming up next, let's climb aboard the rails and head to Reno with Key Holidays here on the Travel Guys.
I'm
Welcome to the Travel Guys, Mark and Tom, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. A beautiful Sunday afternoon, and you know, I'll tell you, it seems like every other day it's raining and snowing. And about a year ago, speaking of snowing, I took a trip up to Reno, Mark, and and you know, there was a little bit of snow on the ground. You had to kind of like really look for it. It was actually St. Patrick's Day weekend, and I went on board something called the Reno Snow Train, and had a great time. And can you imagine what people are getting this year around with all the snow? It's got to be spectacular. And while I was on that trip, I had a chance to meet the operator for Key Holidays, Jade. Jade, welcome to the Travel Guys.
Hi. How are you, Tom, Mark? Thank you for having me.
Well, I wanted to take a moment and get you on this year, now that we have all the snow, and give you an opportunity to talk a little bit about what Key Holidays brings in regards to trips up to Reno and into the snow country.
Sure, I'd love to talk about. Now, the weekend train is called the Reno Fun Train, and it's been in operation over 50 years. It got started in 1963. And that's the Friday back Sunday over 21 party train.
Yep, that's the one I went on.
Yes, that's
because I'm just barely over 21.
And then our midweek train, the Tuesday back Thursday, it used to be called the Snow Train, but that's actually called the Sierra Scenic Train now. You know, a couple of years we didn't have snow, so we changed the name to Sierra Scenic.
Well, sure.
Good marketing plan there.
Yeah, absolutely.
And basically, they're the same trains, except on the Sierra Scenic, the midweek, it's family-friendly. We mostly get retirees. Now, on both trains, the Fun Train and the Sierra Scenic, we do something I think is very creative. We offer a Boomer 50-plus discount on both trains. So if you're over 50 years old, you get a discount. If you're a group, 16-plus passengers, you also get a discount. Right now, we are offering a welcome aboard fare. So there's a lot of ways to save a little bit of money and also get an experience that you just can't have anywhere else in the world on this train.
Jade, tell us a little bit about the experience on the train.
So our train is 15 cars long and accommodates over 500 passengers. We have 400-plus seats in silver service coach, and that includes, if your listener can picture a regular Amtrak car, two seats to each side, an aisle down the middle. Of course, the beauty of train travel is they're not locked into their seats, so they could get up, move around, explore. We have 100 first-class seats in a first-class dome, which will be called Pullman Gold Service, and that includes dining, kind of private car style with a three-course menu, whereas in the coach, we serve a light meal at their seat with the choice of a drink. A long-standing tradition of the Fun Train in the Sierra Scenic is that passengers can bring their own if they wish. And we also have two bars on board. Now, we do have specialty cars on this train. We have a dance car, which we call Club Locomotion, with DJ music and a DJ stand. We have a piano lounge car with live music and a souvenir shop. Then we have this year a dinette, an Amtrak dinette, and that's an open seating car with a bar and cafe menu. Also on this car, and I really like to stress that it is a separate car, because people get very upset when they hear this word, but we do have a smoking car with cigar lounge that is completely separate, and it's the only one probably in the world. I don't know actually how much longer we're going to keep this running, but people do, you know, utilize it and really like having that option.
So the train arrives in Reno, and folks have had a great time on the way up there. So now what happens when they get to Reno?
So when we arrive in Reno about 6:15, 6:30 in the evening, some of the hotels are close to the train station they walk to. The other ones, the hotels provide shuttles. So they go to their hotel for two nights. And, of course, there's wonderful shows in downtown Reno. Right now we have Footloose over at the El Dorado. Harrah's always has a show. We include in the package a winner's book of coupons, good for discounted meals, entertainment, and gaming. And it's a value of $100 per person. Some folks like to go out to the ski resorts. They could go skiing or snowboarding on their middle day, which would be either Wednesday or Saturday. So folks are really on their own to enjoy what Reno has to offer. A lot of fine dining restaurants, gaming, the shows, and then they board the train either Sunday morning or Thursday morning for a beautiful ride back.
You know, Mark, the thing I discovered about taking, you know, the Reno Fun Snow whatever train to Reno.
Scenic, yes. The Reno, you took the Reno not so snowy train last year, but that's okay.
Pretty much. It takes a few hours to get there. A lot of people will think, well, you get on a train, you go 60 miles an hour.
No.
It takes a while.
Tom, two things. First of all, the train is not for anybody who is in a hurry to get anywhere.
You got that.
And second of all, it should be noted that this is an Amtrak train, which means that you really can't be in a hurry to get anywhere because the train goes when the train goes.
Anyway, the point is that you're it's a very friendly, sociable kind of a trip. By the time you get there, you have made new friends, new acquaintances, families. I went on the one for St. Patrick's Day, and there were people that take this train every year on St. Patrick's Day. They book a whole section of the train, and there might be a family of nearly 20 people. They bring in their own food. They bring their own drinks. They decorate the car in that particular area in their own style. It's kind of like a family area. And then the first thing they do is they invite everybody that's around them to join their party. It's more than just a train ride with, let's say, you and the wife. It's really kind of a social event.
Well, the beauty of train travel is that you're not restricted to a seat. You know, the seatbelt sign generally doesn't come on. And in most cases, it's safe to move around the train if you, you know, mind your P's and Q's. And it's not the easiest thing to do for everybody, but you can move around on a train and you can stand up and you can converse. And I think that's part of the reason that this has been so popular for so many years is it is an annual excursion for folks. We take lots of folks on the train every year up to Reno from Sacramento. The Reno Fun Train, you can get on board in the Bay Area. You can get on board in Sacramento. There are connections from San Jose. We have put a link to your website for key holidays at travelguysradio.com. So all you have to do is go there and you can find all the information and all the different types of packages for the Reno Fun Train for the rest of this year. But I will suggest to you, based on how our snow trains filled up here in Sacramento at Sports Leisure Vacations, I'm going to tell you to call and make your reservations now, because I'm going to guess that as the snow falls, more people get interested.
Yeah, I will tell you, our first two departures of the season are Rat Pack Best of the 50s and 60s and our Mardi Gras train. Those are on wait list right now.
Wow.
So they are really filling up, and people have really connected to particular themes. Nothing like it in the world, and going over the most beautiful route, one of the top 10 in the world. So I think, you know, now's the time with all the snow to really call and get your reservations set and invite some friends.
Outstanding. Jade, thanks so much for your time.
You're welcome.
And you have a wonderful season, and we'll see you on the train, okay?
All right. Thank you. Look forward to welcoming you aboard.
And that about wraps it up for another edition of the Travel Guys.
Well, and be sure to join us next week, because we're going to have a special program for you. Chris Elliott and Ed Perkins, our two favorite consumer advocates, will both join us on the program. So by the time you get done at 4 o'clock next Sunday, you're going to be a smarter traveler for certain.
We guarantee it. Thanks for joining us today. See you next Sunday, 3 o'clock on the next edition of the Travel Guys. You stay well.